Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, with our host, the man who knows the most, Ruben Franco. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Today, you're going to give me a little class here. You're going to give me a little dose of culture and arts here today.
Every week, don't we? And welcome to our community, your community podcast. We have a great couple guests here. Our principal pops conductor from the Pacific Symphony, a great partnership for us, with the Chamber, Enrico Lopez-Yanez. Thanks. You for being here.
Thanks.
And I'm
going
to let you introduce who's the special guy sitting next to you.
Sure.
Who did you bring with you today?
The person next to me has toured the world singing at the biggest opera houses and performing with the biggest names in classical music and pop crossover. But he also happens to be my father. This is Jorge Lopez-Yanez.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for being here. Wow.
Thank you.
That's exciting. So
yes.
You got something special coming up this weekend.
We do.
What is it?
So Friday and Saturday night, we're doing a concert with the Pacific Symphony that is called An Enchanted Evening with the Three Mexican Tenors.
Okay.
So it is a compilation. Many of you are probably familiar with the three tenors. It's a little bit of that mixed with a little bit of everything else under the sun. So there is traditional opera and Neapolitan songs. There's Broadway. There's Mexican pop. There's mariachi. There's every genre of music imaginable, sung by three world-class tenors from Mexico, and presenting just a variety of everything. And we even have special guest Mariachi Garibaldi, who will be joining us. They've been with the symphony once before, but never in this format. And actually, this show has never been done with live mariachi before, so it's a first. My father and I have had the privilege of taking this show around to several orchestras throughout North America, but this will be the first time that it's done the way it was conceived, which was with live mariachi as a part of the show.
That's exciting. And Jorge, we knew a little bit about Enrico's background last time we had him on. What was your background growing up, and how did you become an opera singer?
Since I was very young, I discovered I had this special love for music.
Okay.
I started playing guitar when I was 6 years old, and I started singing with the guitar. And however, my parents are not, they were never trained into music at all. They enjoy music. My mom, she was born in Bratislava, the Slovak Republic right now. And my dad, he was from Zacatecas, Mexico.
Oh, okay.
He was a professional bullfighter. When he was a younger kid, he loved bullfights very much. He used to follow all the big names pretty much all over Mexico. So when I started doing music and stuff, then I also went into bullfights because my dad's background and stuff. And then I started singing pasos dobles. And one time I was singing in a party. I was singing Granada with a Mexican trio. And there was a friend of my dad who was very cultural, and he loved tenors. He used to follow tenors all over the world. He followed Domingo. He heard Mario Lanza, all the big names, Corelli. And when he heard me doing Granada, he was with my dad, and he told me, my gosh, this guy has a really spectacular voice. He's a natural tenor. He sings Granada, and Granada is a hard piece.
Singer.
Yeah. So then he told me, my dad was like, why don't you talk to him? And after I finished, he came to me and he said, "My, have you ever studied voice?" I said, no, it's just my voice, what it is. So he's the reason he said, would you be interested maybe in studying opera? And I was like, I was 27 by the time I was finishing my career.
Okay.
My dad was a civil engineer in my hometown. So my plans were just to take over his company. I studied engineering career. But then this guy said, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you learn these two Neapolitan songs, have them recorded, hire a pianist and go to a professional studio, and let's send it to New York, the tape, and see what they say. I said, sure, no. So I learned O Sole Mio, Torna Sorrento, and I had a friend who used to read very good music, and I said, would you be so kind and play for me for my tape? And he says, of course. So we did record it. He sent them to New York to the apprentices of the Metropolitan Opera. And 2 weeks later, we got a letter back saying that it definitely was a natural tenor voice. They said, if this guy wants to come to the States, I'm pretty sure there'll be plenty of places where he can be taken studying professional music. And that's how I started into opera.
So you're 27 at that time?
I'm 27, yes,
okay.
Sir. Yeah.
And then what was the progression after that?
They sent the tape. They named several universities. One was Juilliard, and two in Los Angeles.
Okay.
There was another one, I think, in Cincinnati. At the time this happened, we had a direct flight from Aguascalientes to Los Angeles. So my mom said, why don't we go to Los Angeles and try there? Because New York, it was a hard connection for us.
Sure.
And So I came here. I did three auditions. I did UCLA, USC, and Cal State Northridge. When I came, it was funny because I have never done an audition like this. So you're going to sing for them. Just come and sing. Yeah, remember, yeah. Northridge, that was the first one I went to.
Okay.
I didn't have any music or nothing. So I come, and there was other singers as well auditioning to be accepted in the program. So when one of the teachers said, oh, do you have a music? I said, no. Well, what do you mean no? So what are you going to sing? I said, I can sing whatever. Yeah. But you don't have any music, no? So he said, my gosh. He went and talked to the pianist. I said, what can you play for this guy? He didn't bring any music.
I'm auditioning.
All right. So the pianist said, do you know the Ave Maria by Schubert? I said, yeah. He told him, we can audition with that one. So he started playing the Ave Maria. I started singing. And then I saw the teachers, they were looking at each other. There were three teachers there and me singing with the accompanists. Then when I finished, one of the teachers came and he said, do you know how high can you sing? I said, no. No, okay. Then he said to the pianist, let me see. He said, can you sing this? And he started playing and I will do like a vocalization with him. And the higher he will go, he will look at me and, oh my God, I went all the way. I used to have a very high voice. Okay. So they said, okay, after I finish, do you want something else? No, that's fine. We'll call you. So I left with my mom. We go back to the hotel. On our way back in L.A., we have never been here in Los Angeles. I rented a car. And my mom, she was a big fan of fried chicken.
Okay.
Church's fried chicken. Why don't we, before we get to the hotel, why don't we go and grab something to eat? I said, sure. I said, there is one in Figueroa Street. We were staying at the Holiday Inn in Figueroa Street. So my mom said, okay, let's go there. She looked at the yellow pages. Back then, we didn't have the GPS. We didn't have anything like that.
Sure.
So I started driving, and numbers started going up, and driving. I said, my gosh, this, where in the hell is that church chicken? And we noticed that a lot of strange people, and I started getting really nervous. I said, my mom, they're going to kill us here. Look at the surrounding here. It was not. By the time we got to the church chicken, I was already so nervous. My mom said, let's just go back. And I said, no, we're here. I'll get down there. So I got there, and a lot of strange people were there. So finally, I got the chicken. I said, look, let's go to the hotel. So we're driving back, and my mom says, why are you nervous? I said, no. I said, this is not what I thought it was going to be like. So you don't want to stay here? I said, no. You don't want to study here? I said, no. Let's go back to Mexico, and let's forget about this whole idea. So my mom was like, we did all this because of you. So we walking inside the hotel room. She opened the door, and there was an envelope sitting in the floor there. And she opened it up. My English was terrible then, very poor. So she opened the envelope. My mom was really good on English. And she said, are you sure you want to go back? I said, tomorrow we go back. Forget about this. And then she told me, let me read this letter to you. They have accepted you at Northridge. Full scholarship. You can start in 2 weeks. You're not going to pay nothing. They're going to pay for everything for you. You want to go back or what do you want to do? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started.
Wow.
Yeah. They gave me full scholarship. I went to an audition at USC. I went to an audition at UCLA. Somehow I knew Northridge is the one. So that's how I started. They gave me full scholarship and everything.
So, Enrico, when you have a performer show up without any music to audition, what do you do?
I think, next. I'm glad they didn't do that for him, though. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a story. So, thank you for sharing that. So, you study at Northridge, and then what happens after that?
I studied one semester.
Okay.
And I do remember I had a really hard time with English. Really hard time. They put me in a house with other musicians. It was just a regular house. All the rest of the people were, one was a baritone. Then I had an accompanist who lived there. And then I had a horn player who they rented at me a room. And at the beginning, it was terrible hard for me. Even though I was 27, I was very close to my parents. And being here without the language, basically.
Sure.
I started doing, they put me in English classes, so I was taking English in the morning, and then afternoon I started with my voice teacher, something really also was special from that university. Since I was not fluent in English, they hired a translator for all my lessons. So I had a Cuban tenor who became a really good friend with me.
Sure.
He would translate everything for me during my classes, because at the beginning I was like, what? So they also paid that guy to help me with the English language. One experience that I will never forget, they put me in an opera workshop. And when they did the auditions, they will gave all the parts to the right people. They gave me the tenor lead in Elixir d'Amore, the Elixir of Love. We were doing scenes. And it was all in English. So when we were rehearsing, the baritone who lived with me, he was also a conductor, he got in charge of that particular piece, Elisir d'Amore. So I will start singing, and the other tenors, there were two or three American tenors, who would look at me, and they would make so much fun because of my accent. One time I was sweating wet, and I would look at them, and they were like this, expecting me to make a mistake with the language because it was in English. When we finished the rehearsal, I went to, his name was Sterling. I said, Sterling, I cannot do this. He said, why not? He said, don't you look at those guys? He said, you know why they're like that? I said, because of my English. No. Because they're jealous, because they wish they would be singing that part that right. I gave you, the teacher gave it to you. Don't worry about it, just ignore them. But I said, but I swear, because I know they're just waiting for me to. So that experience to me was a really challenge. I said, oh, really? I said, if I used to fight bulls in the arena, I'm going to fight those jerks. They're going to show them who Jorge Lopez Yanez is. And from then on, boom, I started going up. I was there only one semester. My big break came 8 months after I came to this country. Somebody canceled. They were doing Merry Widow at the Long Beach Light Opera.
Okay.
And the tenor who was singing that, the part of the tenor, canceled 2 weeks before. And they were desperately looking for a tenor who could take the part. And my voice teacher told me, do you think you can learn this fast? I said, why don't you go and audition? I said, they're not going to give it to me. It's in English. Just give it a try. He thought my voice went really quick. I had a natural voice.
Sure.
Instead of having problems with the high notes as many tenors, I was having problems with the low voice. My voice will go dark. So he started working on that. He sent me to the audition. There were 200 tenors singing, auditioning for the part. So I did my audition. They didn't tell you nothing. Thank you. Next. That afternoon, they called my teacher. They say, they want Lopez Yanez to do the part.
Out of 200
people? Out of 200 people.
Really?
Yeah, they gave me the part. So that was my big break. I did that show professionally. Then they started paying me, and I had a great success. I worked really hard with English, you know, because I was like that. But I think we did 15 performances at the Civic Light Opera in Long Beach. And then a year later, they called me back again. That one was special to me. You remember Mario Lanza?
Yeah.
Mario Lanza made a very famous movie, The Great Caruso. I saw that movie. Yeah. When I first came to this country, I saw that movie maybe 100 times because I fell in love with that guy, with his voice. And the star, the female star on that show, was Anne Blythe.
Okay.
They called me back to do New Moon, the same show, the second tenor I did. And you know who was the star of the show? Anne Blythe. Holy moly, when I said, I'm going to be working with Anne Blythe. She was with Mario Lanza. So during the rehearsals, two times she told me, she said, you remind me of Mario Lanza's voice. And I was like, wow, oh my God.
Wow.
And we will start during the rehearsal. She was so kind and so friendly with me and everything. So all those things, they said, I think I can make it. I think I can make it. I had a friend in my hometown in Aguascalientes, Mrs. Alina Luján, who was an opera fan. My hometown during those days was not very big, 500,000 population. Opera was, nobody knew opera. I didn't know opera. When they told me you can sing opera, I thought I need to get really heavy and scream my long song, right, in order for me to sing.
Sure.
This lady, she helped me to learn the two songs that I taped. Torna Sorrento and O Sole Mio with Italian. She was really good with Italian. And one time I told her, you know what, Mrs. Alina? What? One day I'm going to sing at the Met. And she looked at me and she said, you're crazy. You will never make it there. One day I will sing at the Metropolitan. Thank you so much for your help and everything. And sure enough, years later, when I got hired to sing at the Met, I came back to one of my trips visiting my family.
Sure.
And I show her the program, Jorge Lopez Yanez, Alma Viva, Metropolitan Opera.
Wow.
He's met the view. She started crying when she saw that. She said, wow, you made it big time. I said, I told you.
I think anybody who could be a bullfighter and drive through L.A. for Church's Chicken has the grit.
And from a small town where opera is like, who knows, I think I went all the way as far as.
Oh, wow.
So, fantastic.
That is Enrico, were you not, did you want to be a singer when you were younger because of your dad, or did that not really run through your mind?
I did some singing for fun, but it was never opera singing.
Okay.
You know, when I was, even when I was at UCLA, I sang in an electronic boy band duo. In
high school. Band.
A boy band.
What was the name of the boy band?
We were called White Noise with a Z.
Okay.
In high school, I was in a rock band that I sang on.
Okay.
I played drums and I sang, and it was called A Step Up From Nothing.
Okay.
But never opera. That was his territory, and
okay.
I did not dare go, and I was like, oh no, he's got that covered. I'll leave that to him.
But obviously, he was an influence to you to become
absolutely
what you've become today,
yeah.
Obviously.
And when I was going into conducting specifically, when I got started, it was to become an opera conductor because of everything I had seen him doing. I said, that's what I want to do with my career. It took me a while. Similar to him, I was at UCLA for trumpet, and it wasn't until I was there that I just said, you know what, I think I want to pursue conducting. And they were very supportive of that, but at first I said, I think I want to be an opera conductor. And so I went to the University of Maryland, got as involved in the operas as I could. I started doing some assistant work at operas. My first job just happened to be a symphonic job, though, which was with the Omaha Symphony. And when I got there, I said, okay, I'll do the symphony thing, but I'll, you know, try and scope out the opera world as much as possible. And that's really what I wanted to do, because I had grown up seeing him sing and sitting backstage, and the magic of the theater was just so enamoring. But then when I was actually in Omaha, I started seeing all the other shows that symphonies were doing. I had never been to a Pops show until my first job at the Omaha Symphony. I didn't know that orchestras played with rock bands or did these kind of crossover genre blending concerts. And I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool and more in line with the kind of music that I had been making growing up. So that was an eye-opening moment for me. And now with shows like this weekend, the Three Mexican Tenors, I still get to scratch that itch of opera and doing stuff with my father is fantastic, but I also get to do all the stuff that I loved doing as a kid, which is every other genre of music that we can blend with symphonies, which is my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, and as a father, I've gotten to see my kids perform, and that's always amazing, but what was it like the first time you guys got to perform together professionally? What did that feel like?
It was great. So one of the first times we worked together was in Mexico. My dad invited me to come and conduct a couple of tunes in his hometown with his hometown orchestra of Aguascalientes. And one of the tunes we were doing was Nessun Dorma, I remember. And we did it at this beautiful cathedral in Zacatecas. And I had known that tune like the back of my hand. I mean, it was one of my favorite pieces growing up. And then getting to hear one of my favorite voices singing it, but then also the connection we had together was just incredible. Nerve-wracking.
Yeah, can imagine.
Majorly nerve-wracking. Yeah. Not only because it's my dad and his hometown orchestra and things like that, but also my dad has this lovely habit of doing things in rehearsal one way and then in concert doing them completely differently.
It's got to drive a conductor crazy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And he's having the time of his life and I'm up there sweating bullets thinking, I don't know what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
And here this is one of my debut as a conductor and he's screwing it up for me. He's really making me look bad in front of the orchestra. So he kept me on my toes. He still does that to this day, but I've gotten used to it now. So I handle it a little better than I used
to. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend.
That's right. It's the joy of live music. Yeah. You never know what's going to come out of his voice.
The rogue performer.
That's right.
Maybe he'll show up with his music this time. But we'll see. What was it like for you when you got to perform with your son the first time?
I was so proud. And like people ask me, did you give him a chance because if he's your son? I said, first, yes. Second, I knew he has what it takes to be on the top. Otherwise, if he wouldn't be as good as he is, I wouldn't take a chance throwing him into that.
Right.
So I knew what he has. And that's why I said, I'll come and work with us.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Metropolitan. What other places, and then there must be just a bunch of places that have been amazing. What other places you just say you were pinching yourself being there and performing there? What?
Here in the States was the Met, was San Francisco, Los Angeles Opera, it was Chicago, and in the world, Australia. When they called me first time to work in Sydney at
Sydney
the Opera House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was there 21 times in that
really?
Opera. Yeah. They say that, I think, if I'm not wrong, I'm the only
foreigner
who has worked so many times with Australia Opera. I would do two productions and stay 6 months in Australia. I almost they invited me to join their rooster, but I thought, no, if I stay here, then I'm going to lose my career. Right. I got a lot in Europe. I worked.
Sure.
I also did Israel. I did Japan. I did Mexico City, the biggest opera house in Mexico. I did that. In Europe, all over the place, in Italy, Spain, France, Germany. So it was something exciting for me to visit all those fantastic places that I never even dreamed of singing,
yeah.
And always as a first tenor.
And Enrico, remind us again, what you're the principal pops conductor for where else besides Orange County?
So I also with the Detroit Symphony, and okay. I also have positions in Dallas with the Dallas Symphony and Indianapolis Symphony. So
okay.
those are the four that I bounce between.
And formerly you were Nashville as
and formerly with Nashville,
okay.
that's right. Yeah,
that's
I was
exciting.
There for 8 years as well.
And what do you have coming up beyond this weekend with the symphony?
Yeah, so we still have one additional Pops concert as part of the season this year, which is in June. We're doing the music of Journey.
Okay.
So again, getting to incorporate
sure.
my love of other genres and
yeah.
rock music specifically. And then we kick into our Summerfest season down in Irvine at Gray Park Live. And we have an incredible lineup. On the 4th of July, we're partnering with the band Air Supply. So we'll be celebrating the 4th of July with them. I'll be back there this summer doing a Music of Star Wars concert. We have the film Back to the Future coming there this summer, which is the live movie on screen, all with the dialogue, sound effects, but then the soundtrack has been stripped and the orchestra will play that soundtrack live. We have the music of ABBA. We also have a fantastic Tchaikovsky fireworks spectacular, which will be incredible. And then we just announced next season, our pop season just came out this past week, and it's an incredible lineup. It's a bunch of new folks and new shows that are premiering and things that we've never done before. A couple of friends of the Pacific Symphony
okay.
are coming back. So we kicked the season off with a Broadway legend, Idina Menzel.
Wow.
So
okay.
original cast of Wicked, yeah. Frozen, so many iconic roles that she
okay.
has done. We're having one of my dear friends back, Cody Fry, will be doing our holiday spectacular. He has this incredible holiday show that spans classic holiday hits with his incredible talent for orchestration. So some amazing symphonic arrangements paired with some of his solo hits too that he throws in there. We'll be having the great Pink Martini back again next season with all new singers that are joining as a part of the cast. So it's a new show, but with the classic group that is so beloved. We are also doing some brand new shows. We're doing a Music of James Bond show next season.
Really?
That I'll be creating. That'll take place.
You seen all Bond movies?
Most of them.
Okay.
I have some time to catch up
okay.
on a couple of the older
okay.
ones that I haven't quite seen.
Okay.
We're going to start that evening off, though, with a whole casino night event in lobby spaces. So it's an incredible opportunity to come. It's very interactive. You get your Vesper cocktail. You can do some gambling in the lobby. Come see an incredible show.
So who comes up with these ideas to do what the program's going to be? That's
so,
pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's a partnership with the whole team at Pacific
okay.
Symphony. So
okay.
I start off by working with Eileen, our VP of Artistic Programming. Then we connect with our marketing team to see where we need to tweak things. And of course, depending on artist availability, things get adjusted as well. And we try to build something that is well-rounded. So we have some big name artists, then we have some things that are very symphonically focused and covering our bases on different genres. We're doing a sci-fi showdown show next year that'll have Star Trek and Men in Black and The Fifth Element, Alien, all these cool, iconic films that are very
yeah.
much driven by that orchestral sound that really makes sci-fi such a cool genre. We're doing another in-concert musical at the end of this season. We'll be doing Chicago the musical next year, so that'll be a really fun one to highlight the orchestra, and then maybe one of the all-time just most popular Broadway shows too. And the soundtrack of Chicago is incredible.
Absolutely.
So we try and really blend different genres and find things that will interest the community at a wide scale.
You had me at all though. That's
oh,
pretty.
Okay.
That's
okay.
pretty amazing. The lineup you have.
Thank you.
That's
I'm
just
glad.
Amazing. So looking forward to.
Thanks. It should
to
be a lot of
that.
Fun. I'm looking forward to the season very much.
Jorge, where do you go after this weekend? What's on the agenda for you?
I don't work as much anymore.
Okay.
And I think the next is in Baltimore, right?
We have a Baltimore.
Our
show, so the same show is going on
okay.
in Baltimore.
Tenors, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so that's.
We just got done with a show 2 weeks ago. We were down in his hometown, mm-hmm. Aguascalientes. We did a show with one of my dad's iconic legend all-star dream cast. It was with the great tenor Jose Carreras from
wow.
the three tenors,
okay.
As well as Kenny G.
Yeah, okay, so, you were mentioning that. Yeah,
so it was a very fun, again, cross-genre, very unique
yeah.
show. So that was a big lead-up and build-up for that show in mm-hmm. addition to this one that we were doing right now.
Is there anything, you probably can't if you could dream of any kind of combination of what you're talking about, is there anything that may be on your bucket list to do or perform?
As a music of the 90s is very big in my life and the early 2000s. I have a new show that I'm premiering in Indianapolis next year that's called Oops, I Sang It Again.
Okay.
It is all Britney Spears, Beyonce, Christina Aguilera, Spice Girls. Those are the kinds of artists and genres that were really a soundtrack for me personally growing up. Aside from the stuff that my dad played, which was like Chicago and Elton John, artists like what we're highlighting this weekend, Juan Gabriel, Luis Miguel, but that kind of... dream artist would be like if the Backstreet Boys wanted to do a symphony show. I'm just throwing that out there. Any day of the week, let me know.
They were just at the Sphere, I think.
They were, had a huge residency at the Sphere, which was great. Yeah, I saw them. It was.
Oh, you did see them.
I was like, that's the one show that we were staying at the
we were staying at the Venetian, and they were there, and we didn't get to see the concert, but we saw the fans dressed in white. But it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I put on my all white, and I went.
You did? You did your fanboy, I guess.
Oh, yeah. My fiance and I, some friends.
You're a former fanboy.
Exactly.
Band leader, so I can see that. Wow, so that would be on your bucket list.
That would definitely be on my bucket list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bruno Mars.
Yeah, he was just in Vegas, I think.
Right?
Yeah. Very good. That's what's exciting about what you do is that you can just dream about certain things. What if we did this, or what if we tried that, or what if we could connect with this artist? And that's what makes it, I don't know, exciting, right?
Yeah.
And it makes it exciting, not just for you, but for the audience, obviously. And
the orchestra, the only reason we can dream is because of the genre that we work with. And our players are so flexible in everything they do. We're so lucky that we have an orchestra that is made up of musicians that can sight read and play in any genre. That's why they're the same people that play in all the Hollywood soundtrack and play at the Hollywood Bowl. And so when we come up with these kooky ideas to create these shows at different genres, I'm always a little bit relieved at the fact that I'm knowing, like, okay, but it's in front of these musicians. It's going to be great. I know that they can pull off any style, any genre at the drop of a hat. And just symphonic music in general is so unique in that it really can accentuate and create this new level of experience in any genre, too. It's not like a 12-piece rock band. They're limited in the kind of collaborations they can do. But with an orchestra of 80 musicians, you can add to any style, any genre. And I've been fortunate enough to then get to work with rappers, hip-hop artists, soul, R&B, Broadway stars, country, rock, because the orchestra can do that, and it can make those genres sound even better and more unique and provide a really cool experience for their audiences.
Amazing. It just blows me away. Jorge, are you basically looking... What are you looking for next? I know you retired, but is it still... Who have been some of the people you have performed with that were like... were struck by? I know you talked about some of the venues you performed, but who are some of the people that you got to perform with that you just say, wow, I'm very lucky that I got to do whoever?
Yeah, with opera, I work with a lot of very famous sopranos, with Anna Netrebko. I have worked with Edita Gruberova. I work with Federica von Stade. And the latest one is with Jose Carreras. Yeah, I was telling my son, when finally they said, okay, we're going to do that concert, it's been months and months of nervous. I was so nervous to work with him because to me, when I started, they were stars, mega stars. And I always thought, maybe one day I can sing with one of these guys. Pavarotti's gone and Domingo. So for me to have done it with Jose Carreras was a big dream came true. I think that's the latest thing I can tell. Now I can die, and I think I left something.
There you go.
And work with this boy for me has been incredible. I have also worked with, I have my daughter. She's a fantastic musician as well. She's a beautiful singer, and she's an oboe player. And another of my sons, Edgardo, he's studying right now to be a singer, and he's pretty good so far. He's young, he's 20.
Okay.
And he's a tenor. He studies here at Chapman University.
Oh, he does. Okay.
And we have done concerts, all of us together.
Okay, shout out to Chapman.
To show my proudness, my three kids. Singing with me, and my youngest, he said, no music for me. So he's not a musician, but for a dad, what can I tell you? You know that,
three
right? What a privilege
absolutely.
And what a proudness moment when you see shine these people. It's like you did something right in life. That's how I feel so far.
That's right.
Know? Yeah.
That's exciting when you see that. What is the toughest thing, what's the biggest challenge for you as a conductor, other than somebody not showing up with their music, is 80-piece orchestra. You have new people that come to sing and perform that you haven't really done with.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge being a conductor?
flexibility, being able to adapt in the moment to any situation. Okay. And some of that is on the podium, some of it is off the podium. In creating seasons, you can have this dream lineup of concerts that you think is going to be a hit, and then all of a sudden one of your artists drops out and you completely have to rethink everything that you had planned. And on stage, it's the same thing. You can have this great rehearsal leading up to the concert, and then that night the artist forgets lyrics and jumps to a chorus or a verse that is at a completely different part of the show. And usually what happens is their bands are used to that. They jump. Yeah. But an orchestra is following music, and they're like, wait, where are they now? They're clearly not at letter C. They're somewhere else in the piece. And so everyone then looks to the conductor.
Hopefully your dad doesn't do that this week.
No. Thankfully, he hasn't done that kind of thing, which is good. But there are certainly times, you know, people are human. They make mistakes.
I can imagine. Well, 80 people, 80 things can go wrong.
Exactly. So at least.
At least.
And sometimes they do. And that's fine.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I love those moments. It makes me feel like that. Those are the moments where I earned my paycheck. I was actually needed in that moment. And
it looks like you were born to do this, because just the love, both of you, right? That you were born, even though you started late, 27, you started much earlier because of your influence of your dad. But it's amazing just to see you guys, when you talk about what you do, the energy and the smile and your eyes just light up about it. And so I see it. I haven't seen you perform yet. I will on Saturday.
Oh,
I've seen you and you give a great, you make it so much fun to watch you and watch. It's a blessing that we have here in Orange County to have you as our Pops conductor.
I appreciate that. And if you think I'm charismatic on stage, just watch out, because this guy, hand him a microphone and oh my goodness, he goes.
Yeah. Just the background alone. Like the former bullfighter. You're not sitting still for anything.
Oh, no.
You can't sit still.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to get gored either way if you sit still. Any last things you want to share with our audience today?
Yeah, I think if you've never been to a symphony show, or you don't know if you like opera or pop, or this weekend's show is so unique in that it really spans the gamut of all these different genres and different styles of music, which is the thing I've loved growing up, and there's something in it for everyone. And I know people say that about a lot of things, but this is not a stiff sit down and don't talk and don't. This concert is all about clap, sing, have a good time. If you want to dance, if you want to move, you get a little bit of taste of all types of genres of music. So it's a great opportunity. If you don't like the first piece, it's okay. The next one's something totally different, and you're just going to be cycling through all these different styles. And it's a really unique cultural experience too, because you get to see Italian art songs, you get to hear Broadway and songs that were made famous by Andrea Bocelli or Josh Groban, and then you get to hear these Mexican pop legends like Juan Gabriel and Luis Miguel, and then you hear a live mariachi, and that with orchestra is something that you don't see very often.
Nope.
So it's the full tricks and special things. We're throwing it all on stage this weekend, so it'll be really special.
Thank you. And Jorge, thank you for being here. I mean, I've done a lot of podcasts and they've all been fun, but I think this was probably the most fun I've had.
Wonderful.
But thank you both.
Thank you so much.
I'm very excited to hear you both. I'm going on Saturday, but
beautiful.
But you can come on Friday too.
That's right.
And tickets are still available.
Just one question from the audience. People want to know if Ruben's going to get to bring his trumpet out and revive his trumpet career.
One of these days, I'd love to do Ring of Fire.
Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire.
Yeah, so one of these days.
Good to know.
With the mariachi band. Okay.
just plant
maybe
that
maybe
seed.
I'll play just a few notes, but that's on my bucket list.
Wonderful.
A man can still dream, right? But thank you all, and thank you everybody for listening today as well, and we look forward to our next podcast. But thank you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate thank you so much. Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there you go. One more reason to tune in each and every time to hear more about our community, like this amazing father-son show this weekend, Pacific Symphony. Check it out and come back and hear more on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.